Syracuse Airport Control. This is Broomstick Bravo Lima Alpha Charlie Kilo, flying by Spells and St. Elmo's Light on close approach from Salem, Massachusetts. Request landing clearance. Over.
Roger, Charlie Kilo. Please confirm, is Syracuse Hancock International your destination? Over.
Ixnay approach. I'm setting down on the broom port next to Captain Radio in the Fifth Dimension Studios. I'm almost late for recording session. Over.
Roger, Charlie Kilo. Understood. Request to land CR5, broom port. Sorry. Due to heavy weather and traffic, negative on landing at this time. Please change course, bearing 270. Take up standard holding pattern over carrier dome. Over.
Control, I just flew 330 miles through wet, icy clouds and killer headwinds. My robes are frozen hard enough to stop dragon darts. I've got frozen, blown back porcupine quills for hair, and my keister is growing a broom groove wherever it's not colder than a witch's. Well, it's real cold. I need to land now to make it on time for a Captain Radio Halloween special recording session. Over.
Again, negative, Charlie Kilo. We have a book we go by, developed over decades to handle weather and traffic. This is how we do it. Please change course. Stat. Bearing 270 for carrier dome. Please confirm course change. Over.
And we have a book we go by too, developed over millennia to handle royal boobs and bureaucrats. And this is how we do it. Ribbity, robbity, ribbity, boo. Confirm course change. Over.
Ribbit. Ribbit.
Better. Much better. Over.
From Captain Radio and the Fifth Dimension Productions, from Odyssey Audio Works, and from the United Artists of Audio at Mutual Audio Network, we wish you and yours a happy and safe Halloween and a joyful extended holiday season.
You called for a supervisor, Harry?
Dribbit.
Looking kinda green around the... everywhere, eh, Harry?
Dribbit.
You refuse to clear another broomstick, right?
Dribbit.
Well, you know the drill. Hop back to your pad, get some rest until you return to... Harry?
Dribbit?
Learn something this time, will ya?
Dribbit. 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 Dribbit.
My reason for writing stories is to give myself the satisfaction of visualizing more clearly and detailedly and stably the vague, elusive, fragmentary impressions of wonder, beauty, and adventurous expectancy which are conveyed to me by certain sights, scenic, architectural, atmospheric, and so on, ideas, occurrences, and images encountered in art and literature. H.P. Lovecraft.
Simmer down, everybody. I've called you all together to let you know that this year, we're going to own Halloween. Between now until October 31st, this radio station will be the place to go for everything spooky. We want our listeners to say FunFest 91.5 is horrible.
They already say that, sir.
You tell them, Sid.
But in a good way. I mean, a good horrible way. I mean, oh, you know what I mean. Charlie, you're the program director. I want you to dig up all the Halloween tunes you can find.
Dig up. Nice touch, boss.
I'm on it, boss.
Monster Mash, Werewolves of London, Season of the Witch, Ghostbusters, the usual suspects. Put them all in hot rotation.
Hey, hey, we could temporarily call ourselves Fright Fest 91.5.
Love it. Sally, get some artwork made with that name. Have somebody work up caricatures of our DJs with hideously ugly faces.
Just take pictures of them as they are. That'll do it.
You tell them, Sid.
But, sir, remember, you've already assigned me to...
I don't care what I assigned you to. Can't you handle two assignments?
Actually, this would be five.
Then you'd better get to work. I want results, Sally, and I want them fast.
But how can I...
Clyde, you're our production guy. I want all commercials to have a Halloween sound to them.
Let me guess. Spooktacular savings, deals to die for, the best from ghost to ghost.
Great stuff, Clyde. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Yeah, I wish.
And I want our offices to look Halloween-y. Lots of black and orange crepe paper, skeletons, fog, spiders.
We're not too far from that right now, boss, ever since the owner had the building renovated.
The renovations turned out great. Walls covered in rustic wood, as well as bric-a-brac recovered from the oldest buildings in our area. It's historic. Our office space never looked better.
Or worse to work in. The lights keep flickering and sparking. The toilets are always backed up. The windows leak. The roof sags. We're scared to work in here.
Great! Use that energy. Think scary all through Halloween.
Think it? We live it!
Go and make sure that when people think Halloween, they think Fun Fest.
Fright Fest.
Fright Fest 91.5. Get to it, people!
Hey, Clyde.
Oh, hey, Sally.
Are you feeling it?
Feeling what? The Halloween spirit?
No. Yes, I mean, ever since they renovated the building, there's been sort of a creepy feeling.
Even when Sid isn't around?
Do you believe in ghosts?
What? Casper? Slimer? Christmas Past?
I think we're being haunted.
Haunted?
Really? It's more than just cheap wiring and leaky plumbing. There's something ominous going on.
Ominous, you say?
Maybe we could talk about it over lunch?
I don't know. I've got ominous commercials to write.
Oh, okay. Be careful.
Okay, Fenster Furniture is having a Halloween mattress sale. Let's see. If you're looking for spooktacular savings on mattresses so comfortable you'll enjoy the sleep of the dead, oh Lord, this is such crap, then you should jump on your broomstick and head to Fenster Furniture, where they have monster bargains for every room in your crypt.
Hi-ho, Clyde! How's our resident genius doing today, huh?
I'll ask him if he ever shows up.
Listen, I'm making some sales calls today, and I'd like to take along some spec spots. If I go to a client with a commercial already made out for them, that helps seal the deal.
Yeah. Who are you going to see?
Well, this afternoon I'm going to that odd bookstore, you know, Karen's Corner. That weirdo lady who has all those books on the occult and spirits. Not the kind of spirits I like, huh?
Yeah. Well, that shouldn't be too hard to work up.
Great. So you'll go visit her shop this morning and get a feel for the place, right?
What? Wait, you never said anything about going.
Don't let her know you're from the station. Pretend you're a customer. See what she has in the back room, if you get my drift.
Actually, I don't.
Good man. She opens at 10. Better scoot on out there.
But...
Love you, Clyde. Good luck. Enjoy your road trip.
Well, crap. Hello? Hello? Anybody here?
What do you seek, young man?
You scared me.
No, I startled you. A momentary shock. To be scared is eternal.
Really?
I am Clotilda. This is my shop. What do you seek?
Seek? Well... It being the Halloween season and all...
You seek tales of horror, mayhem, spectral spirits.
Yeah, sure. That stuff.
Perhaps true tales to give you chills.
True?
Did you know this area was ruled by witches some years ago?
Witches? Oh, you mean like...
Not Samantha. Don't go there. Here, look at this ledger.
Ledger?
This is a ledger kept by the mayor of this municipality in the mid-1640s, when witches ply their black magic.
This is handwritten.
It is a ledger. Pay attention, Clyde.
I just meant that it's... How did you know my name was Clyde?
The last witch of the coven was named... Daisy.
Daisy?
You were expecting maybe Esmeralda?
Well... Yeah.
Behold, page after page of Daisy's reign of terror.
Profusely illustrated.
If by profusely you mean badly, Yes, the mayor was no Norman Rockwell.
As long as he wasn't a Norman Bates, right? Right? Anyway, even with the terrible artistry, these pictures are pretty...
disturbing, yes.
Whatever happened to Daisy?
She lived a long, happy life and died peacefully in her bed.
Really?
No! She was brutally dispatched from this earthly plane.
You're saying she was killed?
Are you sure you're a writer?
I was just simplifying what you... How did you know I was a writer?
She was destroyed, the only way a top-tier witch can be dispatched.
She was burned, right? Huh? Did I get that right? Huh?
Yes, she was burned.
1 point for me.
But! Before she was burned, her broomstick was chopped up.
Broomstick? Witches actually had broomsticks?
Yes, but not to ride on. As a conduit for their power. Witches have a very personal and symbiotic relationship with their broomsticks.
Sounds uncomfortable.
To kill a witch, her broomstick must be chopped into pieces, thereby weakening her power enough to apprehend her and put her to the torch.
I never knew that.
That's why I'm showing this book to you.
So she's dead and gone forever?
Yes.
Unless!
Unless?
Unless somebody performs the return ritual.
Return ritual? What is that?
It is the last chapter of the ledger. He wrote down exactly how to resurrect a witch, just to make sure nobody does it.
He gives instructions on how to do something nobody ever should do?
The mayor was not the brightest torch in the angry mob.
I gathered that. So, what are the instructions?
You have read enough. No more secrets to be revealed at this time. Unless...
Unless...
$30.
You want me to bribe you?
I want you to buy the book. You think I have this shop for the sheer pleasure of talking to hack copywriters?
Okay, $30. Do you take Visa?
I take cash.
Of course. Let's see. I have, there's a 20... Three ones and a quarter.
Deal! Give me the money. Take the book. Return to your station.
Right, thanks. Say, how do you know so much about...
Are you wanting to buy another book?
No, I just wondered...
Then go! It is time for my morning meditation.
Thank you. And could I... I'll just see myself out then.
So remember, for terrifying tomes and nasty novels, go to Karen's Coroner. Excuse me, Karen's Corner on Campfire Lane. Read until your eyes explode.
Did everybody hear that? The client loved it. Bought a whole Halloween package. Another... Home run, Clyde! Love you, man.
Yeah, fine.
Congrats, Clyde.
Thank you.
So, how was Karen's Corner?
Unnerving. Strange lady. Stranger books. I got one that describes a witch in the 1600s and how she died. Apparently, she lived in that part of town, over here where all the old crumbling buildings are.
Where the contractors got all the rotten wood for our walls and shutters?
Yeah.
They left no junk untouched. Rusty nails are now hooks for hats. Broken glass is now artwork. Even the spindle in the bathroom is part of some old worm-eaten wooden rod.
Now that's dedication.
You'd think they'd use some of that renovation money to build us a second bathroom.
I'd be happy with one bathroom, if it worked. Anyway, I'm going to read the last chapter in this thing. It tells me how to resurrect an evil witch.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Mind if I join you?
I guess not. It may get nasty.
I can only wish.
How's that?
I like nasty. I mean, scary stuff. You know.
Okay, pull up that chair and let's dive in. To resurrect an evil witch wouldst be an abomination against man and God and should never be attempted, as it would threaten the community, the continent, and verily the very world. This is how it is not to be done.
I wonder if his lawyer suggested the disclaimer.
First, thou must acquire a segment of the broken broomstick. Next, this broomstick must be wrapped in a veil of purest white.
Sounds like it's getting married.
Placeth the broomstick segment near a cauldron. This cauldron must contain vile, putrid, and foul human feces.
Did it just say what I thought it said? You have to put poopy in the cauldron?
Hey, this is black magic stuff. It's supposed to be disgusting.
They're going off the scale with disgusting.
Should I continue?
Yes. This is fascinating.
A virgin must be brought near the cauldron, as well as a piece of her broomstick.
A virgin.
They were all the rage back then.
A virgin.
Pure, like the white veil.
Fine. Continue.
When lightning flasheth, the virgin must bow down in supplication before the broomstick.
How can you know when lightning is going to flash?
Wait for a stormy night to do this? I mean, it's a horror story. There's got to be a storm.
Well, it's a lovely afternoon under a clear sky, so I guess no witch resurrecting will go on today.
Plus, we probably have a shortage of virgins.
Yes, we probably do.
So, it's almost quitting time. Want to go out and grab an early dinner?
What? Out? Me?
Oddly enough, this talk of poopy cauldrons and doomed virgins has worked up an appetite.
Yes, of course. Sure, that would be great. Let me go get freshened up.
Sure. Be sure to take a tetanus shot before going into the bathroom.
Did that last week. I'll be right back. Oh, this room is nasty. I better make this quick. First, I need to wipe off a little mascara. Some toilet paper should take care of that. That is one ugly stick the toilet paper is on. There. Done. Oh! Somebody's gonna get electrocuted in here someday. Now for my hair. Brush. Ah, here it is. Darn it, where did it go? There it is, down there. Let me just reach down and... Oh, God! What is that coming up in the toilet? Oh, poopy! Wait, toilet? Cauldron? Broomstick? White? Oh, no!
Wonder what's keeping Sally.
You know women in bathrooms, Clyde. They go in as one person and come out as another.
Bow before me, mortals.
Sally?
Whoa, she's hot.
Behold my power.
Sally, what are you doing? What happened to you?
The name is Daisy, and the only reason I'm not skinning you people alive is because you brought me back.
You're welcome.
I perceive that I have lost some time during my slumber in limbo. I must study this new world and find the best way to spread terror.
And destroy as many lives as possible.
Sally, Daisy, can I borrow your broomstick for a second?
Nice try, Romeo.
You can't imagine how close you came to the most exciting night of your life.
I can imagine. I imagine all the time.
What's going on in here? Wow! Now this is what I call Halloween. Great job, people. Hey, great outfit, Sally.
Thank you, sir. And here's a little something for you.
Something for...
Well, got a fly gang. And you should hope I never see any of you ever again.
Yeah, can I help you?
Oh, no. I am here to help you.
Help me?
My name is Daisy. I'm from the Internal Revenue Service, and I'm here to take a little peek at your last 10 years of returns.
No.
No!
No!
This has been Fright Fest 91.5, written and produced by John Bell.
Featured in the cast, in order of appearance, were Pete Lutz, John Bell, and Jessica Kinney. Copyright 2024 by John Bell Creative, LLC.
Frances Taylor was thrilled to be asked to spend a repertory season performing at Little Haven Theatre in... No, it's best not to say where it was exactly, as it's no longer there. Suffice to say, it was located in a sleepy, backwater coastal town. The audition had gone well, and after a lean resting spell, she was keen to start, especially as the opening play in the season was to be a production of Emlyn Williams's The Morning Star. Frances adored plays written and set in that era. She often felt she would have loved to have lived during that time, and gaining a role in that play seemed not so much serendipity as almost preordained. So, it was with a spring in her step that she arrived at the theatre for the first day's rehearsal, only to be confronted with a slightly uneasy atmosphere in the rehearsal room. This she put down to the usual first-day nerves of people getting to know each other, and the prospect of bringing a play from page to stage. After a couple of days, the nervousness had dissipated, and Frances found herself immensely enjoying being part of a company and the joy that being around fellow creatives can bring. Still, she felt an unsettling aura, which she came to realise wasn't coming from the people around her, but the venue itself. She had always possessed an uncanny sensory ability when it came to past events in a place or building. During a break, Frances fell into conversation with another actor who told her, during the war, the theatre was badly damaged from a leftover bomb dropped by a plane on its way back to Germany. It killed many people, including the cast. So the place is haunted, replied Frances. Her definitive pronouncement somewhat disconcerted her colleague.
Well, they are said to appear on stage on the anniversary of the raid. A tradition came about that the theatre is kept dark on that day, and extra performances are given or rehearsals scheduled instead. The current management want to change that, though.
When is the anniversary? Asked Frances.
Tonight,
came the answer. An overwhelming curiosity in Frances made her resolve to spend the evening in the theatre. Once the day's rehearsals were over, she signed out with the rest of the cast, but then pretended to have forgotten something and slipped back inside without the stage doorkeeper noticing. She hid herself in a cubbyhole she had found earlier and waited. As soon as she felt that no one was left, Frances emerged from her hiding place and checked her watch. It was 7:10, or the 15-minute call time. Frances made her way to the stage and found a chair which she placed centre stage and sat down. She considered all the people who had performed in the very same theatre throughout the decades, especially those who had been there providing entertainment in those darkest of days when a bomb fell, violently obliterating them. She sincerely believed that an event like that must leave some kind of imprint. Lost in reverie, Frances stood up and wandered over to the wide wings at stage right. She glanced at her watch, which read 7:25, or the Act 1 beginner's call. Frances then stepped back out onto the stage and saw that the curtains were now fully closed. She also now noticed that the house lights and audience chatter had imperceptibly faded up. Confused, but not perturbed, she sat back in the chair she had placed earlier, and then the curtains were drawn. The stage lights came up as the house lights dimmed, and she found herself surrounded by the props and furniture of a country house from a much earlier period. Briefly, she saw the outline of figures near her. But the blinding lights intensified to such a degree that she fell into unconsciousness. Frances Taylor was found dead the following day, sat on a chair in the middle of the stage with an enigmatically happy smile on her face. The first curious aspect was that she was wearing an outfit from the Second World War era, despite the fact that the door to the costume department was securely locked and her own clothes were nowhere to be found. The second curious aspect was that shortly afterwards, a scrapbook was found of old reviews and reports. Emlyn Williams's play, The Morning Star, was the one being performed when the bomb hit the theatre. And listed in the cast was one Frances Taylor. Past performance was performed by Nonnie Lewis, and it was written and produced by Benjamin Peel.
Based on the popular internet sci-fi audio podcast, Saturn Space Station, Awakening Paradigm is now available immediately as an ebook at Amazon.com. Surviving the End of the World was just the beginning. Even after a catastrophic climate disaster decimated Earth and scattered the survivors into struggling space station colonies, humans still can't resist temptation to repeat their mistakes. As interplanetary tensions escalate toward civil war, Saturn Space Station commanders Paul Ducos and his sister Bette Midland must abruptly overcome their reputations as space pirates. Instead, they must unite their military, AI, and paranormal allies to face a new enemy, mysterious and seemingly invincible supernatural aliens who make potentially devastating demands. Can the humans find and recruit rumored fantastical mythical creatures among the planets to aid in their desperate resistance? And will humanity's core determination to survive be enough to overcome this seemingly invincible threat? Join Paul and Bette, Dolly and Bertha, Jockey and Barry, as well as Weeble and all the other gallant crew of Saturn Space Station in their fierce battle to survive at the outer frontier of our solar system. Visit Amazon.com now and search for your copy of Awakening Paradigm by Tracy and J.A. Babian.